Dear congregation, as we gather together in this afternoon, as it becomes evening, we often begin to think about the week ahead of us. And after we have been in the service and we may say goodbye to one another, we may more often say, I hope you have a good week. What is a good week? We can think of that your work will go well, or that you will be in health, and that you're in school you will do well, and can think of many things involved in having a good week. But sometimes there's people who say that, and you have the sense from them that they mean more than that. And sometimes that word will be used, hope you have a blessed week. You sense already that there is something richer yet, a blessed week. And it raises the question, what is it to have a blessed week? It's a word that's used so often, isn't it? Blessed, blessing. All the office bearers said that to me, and I said it to each of them before we came into the sanctuary here. And again, after the service, that word will be used, blessing. It's a word that we use so often also in prayer, bless this person and bless that person and bless the other person. A word we use so often that the danger can be that we don't even think anymore what that word actually means. What is it to be blessed? The Lord doesn't leave it up to us to define what blessing is. The Lord himself tells us what that blessing is, and he tells us in words which also are so familiar that we can almost, do I have to confess it, tune out when we hear them? At the end of a service, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. That's what blessing is. There is so much congregation in this word of blessing that we may hear so often. And let our prayer be this evening that we would hear it. Maybe in a way that we've never heard it before. Not because we hear new things, but that we hear that this is indeed what God speaks as the God of grace. Our theme is the Lord's blessing. The Lord's blessing. 3 points. First, how comprehensive. Secondly, how close. And third, how costly. The Lord's blessing, how comprehensive. Covers everything. Secondly, how close it comes to us. And third, how costly this blessing is. Our text in number 6, at the heart of it is this blessing which is pronounced. When you look at verses 24 and 25 and 26, you notice that they all begin with the same two words. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord. Grammatically, it would have been clear if it had simply said, the Lord bless thee and keep thee and make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee and lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. But instead, the Holy Spirit inspired Moses to repeat that name of the Lord 3 times. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord. And whenever the Holy Spirit inspires someone to repeat something, it's not a vain repetition. It's not just like we can sometimes do in prayer, continually repeat the name of the Lord almost as a filler. No, the Lord is very deliberate when he causes his name to be recorded 3 times in these 3 short verses. Because He is showing us that the Lord and blessing are bound together. Whenever you think of the blessing, you are to think of the Lord. It's Lord here in capital letters. The name by which God revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush as the Lord Jehovah, the I am that I am, that eternal, that unchangeable, that infinite, that glorious God whom the heaven of heavens cannot contain, that one who is beyond being able to put into words who he is, this infinite God who is also the faithful one, keeps truth forever. This one is the God of blessing. Blessing is bound up in this God of blessing. And therefore, already at the very beginning, we have to ask ourselves, is this how you think of God? As the Lord Jehovah, the God of blessing. That's what he's revealing himself to be here in this blessing in number 6. What is this blessing then that flows from this Lord? Again, as you look at those verses 24 through 26, you see that there are these three pairs of actions. And that already is striking, isn't it? It's all the action of the Lord. Blessing is the action of the Lord. It's what the Lord does. It's not only he is the God of blessing, but he's the one who is the source of that blessing so that it flows through his work. We don't bless ourselves. We don't give ourselves a blessing. It's the Lord's action. They're all verbs of what the Lord does that brings this blessing down to earth. Now, what are these things? As I said, there's these three pairs of blessing. Bless thee and keep thee. It's a pair. The two fill each other out. He blesses in keeping, and his keeping is a blessed keeping. And then there is that second pair, make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. In shining his face upon you, he shows his grace. And then that third pair, lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In the way of lifting up his countenance, he gives peace. There's these three pairs of blessing. Some have even seen the Trinity here, as the three persons and the focus of each one being a specific person. I leave that to your own meditation. But there's also something beautiful even about the way this was written in the Hebrew. In Hebrew, the first pair is only three words. The second pair is five words. And the third pair is seven words. The first pair is actually 15 consonants. The second pair is 20, and the third is 25. See how beautifully inspired this blessing is. And each one is bigger, is bigger. It's as if to say that when you begin to hear of the blessing and see something of that blessing, it only becomes bigger and richer. Well, let us for a moment this evening listen to how comprehensive that blessing is. The first pair. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Bless. As I said, it's such a common word. It's a word that's used here several times in this passage. Verse 23, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel. The Lord bless thee. And then in verse 27, and I will bless them. It's the most general term. This word for blessing has a sense of speak well and do well to those who receive the blessing. So that what flows from God to us would be for our benefit, for our good, for our enjoyment, and for God's glory. The Lord bless thee, do you good. The Lord before you, and not against you, with you and not far from you. The Lord used all that he is in his splendor and glory for your good. That's blessing. And keep you. This blessing keeps in the midst of all that would hurt you. That's why we sang Psalm 121, didn't we? About how the Lord is thy keeper, thy shield, so that thy going out and thy coming in, he will keep thee henceforth and forevermore. The Lord keep you. In the midst of the way that you go through life, in the midst of all those dangers that you face, in the midst of the dangers on the road, and the dangers in your home, and the dangers at work, and the dangers in the classroom, in the midst of all those dangers, the Lord keep you. In the midst of the so many dangers that you're not even aware of, but could so easily bring you down, the Lord, who sees them all, keep you. As you're there with others, and as you are alone, there's dangers with others, and there's dangers when you're alone. The Lord keep you during the day, and even in the night, when you go to sleep, and you're so out of control of anything because you're unaware of what's going on. The Lord keep you. The Lord so keep you that you might sing with the psalmist, in his care confiding, I will sweetly sleep, for the Lord my Savior will in safety keep. The Lord keep you, even when trials come, difficulties. And you have to go through a way that your flesh doesn't want to go. The Lord keep you in that way. Afflictions on the good must fall, but God will lead them safe through all. The Lord keep you. The Lord keep you in the midst also of those so many spiritual dangers that would destroy you, Satan and the world. The Lord keep you in the midst of your own corrupt flesh that you carry with you, that has the seeds of destruction within you. The Lord keep you. Psalm 121 again, he shall preserve thy soul. Isn't it beautiful? The Lord bless thee, and the Lord keep thee. So easily can lose sight of that. Think of the psalmist, we sing, don't we? I hardly knew that thou art Israel's keeper true. And there he went into the tabernacle, and there he saw the end of the wicked, and there he saw the Lord, and through the sacrifice, and there he also received that blessing, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. And then the psalmist could say, thou hast holden me by thy right hand, my right hand. Thou shalt guide me by thy counsel. The Lord will keep me. It's all in these words, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. And that's only the beginning, congregation. The second pair is, the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. What can be compared to that? The Lord shine with his face upon you. That implies that it doesn't naturally shine upon us. There is this darkness, not because God is darkness. God is light. He's pure light. But just like at night, the sun is still shining, but something has come between us and the sun. The world has come between us and the sun, so that the light of the sun doesn't shine upon us. So it is that sin has come between us and God. But here the blessing is, the Lord shine with the light of his face upon you. The Lord show you himself. Clear away all that comes between you and him. Clear away all the darkness. Clear away all the blindness to his glory. The Lord shine so that you see his glory, so that you see how great he is, so that you fall down before him. And yet the Lord show himself in such a way that you're not consumed, but in a way that you receive his grace. The Lord shine with the light of his face upon you and be gracious to you. Isn't that amazing? It's a picture of a king. And there comes that subject, that rebel or whoever, and he comes before the king. And the king is upon his throne. And the face of the king lights up. And that one sees the favor of the king. That's what we have here. The Lord shine with the light of his face and be gracious to you. So that with Noah you would look and you would find grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's a picture here. No, this is what the Lord says here. With grace. When you sit, or I stand, and I say, Lord, I deserve the frown. I deserve thy disfavor. And his answer is, the Lord shine with his light upon you and be gracious to you. It's pure grace, congregation. Grace is God giving the opposite of what we deserve. Deserve hell. And he gives the light of his face and of his favor. Isn't this rich? Doesn't this make all the difference? To go into a week with the light of God's favor upon you. Whatever may come. Isn't this what makes all the doubts and fears to fade away? Isn't this what makes all the troubles and the anxieties of an elderly person fade away? Isn't this life that makes all the confusion and the riddles of in a young person's heart fade away? Isn't it this light of grace that makes the pain and distress of an adult because of his past fade away? The Lord shine with his face upon you and be gracious to you. It's the Lord make his face shine upon thee. You see again, this is the Lord's doing. You find you can't make yourself bring yourself into the light. You can't find you can't make yourself light. The Lord says, I know. That's why I give you the blessing. The Lord make his face shine upon you. And if this isn't rich enough, then there's that third pair. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Countenance, children, you know what your countenance is? It's your face. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. What's the picture there? If you lift up your face, it doesn't mean you stretch your neck, but that means your face, something in your face lifts up. And what can you lift up on your face? You can lift up your eyebrows. And you can lift up your mouth. Is it not both here? The Lord lift up his face. When do you lift up your eyebrows? It's when you're listening really carefully to someone. And that's a picture here. The Lord lift up his countenance. The Lord show that he hears your prayers and that he sees your need and show that all his attention is towards you. That he's not like we are sometimes. We listen with a half ear and we say, uh-huh, but we aren't following along. No, the Lord lift up his countenance, show that he knows you through and through, and he sees everything about you. And that already is such a grace. Well, this glorious God would pay attention to someone like me. But doesn't it also have this other sense of lifting up the face in the sense of the mouth of a smile. The Lord show you His delight, His loving kindness, His favor. That He doesn't simply show that His attention is towards you in order to destroy you, but His attention is towards you in order to bless you, in order to give you what you need, and not just what you need, but to show Himself, to show His heart to you in His smile of His favor. And tell me, isn't that what gives peace? The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Isn't that so? They're bound together. He sees all my need. He knows everything about me. There's nothing I can hide from Him. And still, He shows His favor to me. Peace. Peace in the midst of the troubles of life. Because there's peace with a God above all those troubles. As your keeper. In God's love abiding, I have joy and peace, more than all the wicked, though their wealth increase. The Lord give you peace. This is the word of the Lord in this blessing. Congregation, isn't this blessing indeed so comprehensive? It covers every aspect of life. Because it comes from this glorious God who when He blesses, it's not just a partial blessing for a certain aspect of life or certain, just your soul and not your body or just this and not that. No, it's a blessing for your whole being. And this is a blessing that He comes with in number 6. In these familiar words that we hear perhaps every Lord's Day again. What more can you desire than this? Than this blessing? And does these words of our text not clear away all those shallow and superficial ideas that we can have when we use that word blessing? This isn't just about having a comfortable life. This is so much richer, so much greater. It's the blessing of the Lord Himself. Maybe by now you're asking this question. To whom does He speak this? To whom does He speak this blessing? And that's our second point. The Lord's blessing. Not only how comprehensive, but how close. To whom does He speak this blessing? I hear someone say, He speaks it to His people. He speaks it to those who are saved. We sang, those who fear His name, His loving care shall know, they shall be blessed. And that's right. He speaks it to His people. And stop there. Is that not amazing? People of God, He comes to you week after week after week, and He speaks of His blessing to you. You don't always feel it. You don't always experience it. You don't always sense it. You don't always see it. But He continues to speak that blessing. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. What an amazing thing that is. I will hear what the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace to His people. What an amazing thing that is, that you may come to church and that you may leave church with that blessing of the Lord pronounced towards you, and that you may go into that week, not just with some people wishing you a blessed week or a good week or whatever else, but the Lord Himself coming to you. And He knows everything that awaits you in that week. He knows what's in your agenda, and He knows what's not in your agenda and will happen. He knows all the dangers, and He knows all your weakness, and He knows all the calling that you have, and He knows everything. And He brings you into the house of God, and He declares this blessing towards you. Isn't that what you need? Every week again. Every day again. Every moment again. The blessing of the Lord. Can you go through a day without his blessing? You look back and so often you don't seek his blessing enough, but deep down you know you cannot do without this God. The Lord knows it far better than you do how much you need that blessing every day again. That's why he not only continues to speak it, but he continues to keep. To keep, whether you recognize his hand or not, but to keep. To give his grace. And maybe it's the times when you least see and experience that grace that you need that grace the most. And you don't perish only thanks to this continuing grace of God. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. It's the word of God. Have you heard it? Do you hear it? Time and again as God's word to you. Such a personal way. That's also the beauty of how it is written here in our Bibles. The Lord bless thee. It's singular. Individual. Because you notice that before that it says, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel. That's plural. It's bless the children of Israel. And what is that blessing? The Lord bless thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee. And the Lord be merciful and gracious to thee. It's singular. The Lord's words are so personal to each one of his people. It's not just in a mass. It's not just like when the president of America says, God bless America, in the mass. No, it's so personal. You, beginning a new week, not knowing what the future brings, the Lord bless thee. He speaks it so that you'd hear his voice. And it stir you up in the beginning of the week to hear his voice and to bring that word back to him in prayer. To say in response with Jabez, that thou would bless me indeed, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. He hears that blessing and he returns it to God and says, oh God, bless me indeed and keep me from evil. That may be your response throughout the week. Lord, bless me indeed and keep me from evil, because I have heard thy word. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. That's why throughout the week you may pray, O Lord, make thy face shine upon thy servant for thy mercy's sake. Because he said it. The Lord shine with the light of his face upon you. See, whenever he speaks, it's so that we'd bring it back to him in prayer. Lord, do what thou hast said in expectation in this God who has said it, and shall he not also do it? There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. You may pray with expectation, because he himself has spoken that he will bless. Notice the end of this passage, verse 27. And I will bless them. That's the word of Jehovah. The I am that I am, who knows his people and nevertheless says, I will bless them. There's the foundation to go forward. There could be someone else here this evening who says, then I feel so excluded. This blessing is for God's people. They are the blessed ones. They share in this blessing. And what? You don't share in that blessing. You go through life without this blessing of God? What a dreadful condition to be in. Not to have the blessing of God, not to have the Lord shine with His favor upon you, for the Lord to be against you and not for you. It's the most dreadful way to go through life. It's the most dreadful thought to go into another week without the blessing of God, to go with God against you, the one who holds your future in His hand. What shall I say to you? Well, it's not I that has to say anything to you. What does God say to you? Do you know what God says to you? The Lord bless thee. The Lord keep thee. Ali, you said that was for God's people. What does the text say? On this wise, verse 23, ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them these things. And then it says in verse 27, they shall put my name upon the children of Israel. What children of Israel? Is it only the Nazarites of the earlier part of this chapter who are devoted and consecrated to God in a special way? Was it only the priests who were consecrated to God and to His service? Was it only the God-fearing ones among the children of Israel? Was it only those who had this tender conscience and concern to go in His way? Was it only those who pleaded for the mercy of God and the blessing of God? Was it only those who were this or were that among Israel? We don't read that in this passage. We only read, bless the children of Israel. Who are they? They're the ones we read of in Numbers, the ones we read of already in chapter 1. Take the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel, all those ones that were numbered, all the 600 and some thousand chosen men of war, and all their wives and their children and everything, everyone else. These are the children of Israel, the descendants of Israel, of Jacob. These are the ones that were set apart from all the other nations of the world to belong to God. And these ones, they gather together there around the tabernacle, and they may hear that blessing of God. Who are these people? Say unto the children of Israel, the Lord bless thee. Who are they? They're the very same ones of whom God said in Exodus 33, the Lord had said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people. And now say unto the children of Israel, the Lord bless thee. It's astounding. I don't think Aaron would ever have dared to stretch out his hands over those murmuring and disobedient and gainsaying people there in the wilderness and say, the Lord bless thee. If the Lord himself had not said, Moses, command Aaron to say to the children of Israel, the Lord bless thee. God himself commanded it, even though God knew what these children of Israel were. And he commanded it to show those children of Israel, all those children of Israel, how ready and how willing he was to be gracious to them in spite of all they had been and all their unbelief and all their hardness of heart there in the wilderness. That he was still that God of blessing. He was still that God of grace. That's why there's no one here tonight who can say there's no grace in God for me. Who can say there's no blessing in God for someone like me. God knows you're stiff-necked. But he said, Aaron, stretch out your hands over those stiff-necked people and show how ready I am to bless sinners. Graciously. Declare my willingness to give blessing to them all. So that none would doubt my willingness to bless to shine with the light of my face upon them. That stiff-necked people, to shine with the light of my face and to give them peace. We always think that we first have to be something. But hear this word of blessing that comes in the face of all that sin and unbelief to show who God is as a God of grace. It says, in that way they shall put my name upon the children of Israel. In that blessing, he places his name upon the congregation time and again. And when we think of God placing his name upon someone, it reminds us of, was that last week? Here at the baptismal font, a couple stood in that water. I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. God's name was placed upon that child. And earlier has been placed, perhaps on you. It was the name of the triune God of grace, who when he laid his name upon you, knew that you were a sinner, but placed his name to show that he is a God of grace for sinners. And every time you hear the blessing of God, it's a confirmation. He is what he said he was in baptism, a God of grace and a God of salvation. Once should be enough, baptism. But he knows our unbelief. And he knows who we are. So he lays that name again and again and again. Who is a God like this? Who continues to speak of his blessing and of his grace? And that's why if you say, that's a blessing I don't know. That's a blessing in the light of his face and all these other things, I don't know. He sees that. And he's brought you here. And he proclaims it to you. So that also you would bring that word back to him. And we shall be saved when thy face shines once more. Why may you expect him to shine with the light of his face upon you? It's because he calls to you, he promises to you, the Lord shine with the light of his face upon you. And if someone still wonders, but really me? Really me? You don't know who I am. No, I don't know who you are. But let us hear in our final point, not only how comprehensive and how close, but also how costly this blessing is. You say, this blessing for me, I don't deserve it. No, you don't. Do you know what you deserve? You deserve the very opposite of blessing, and that is curse. And that means the whole infinite being of God not being for you, but being against you. That's the curse. And in that curse, you don't deserve to be kept or shielded from any of it, but to be given up to it, that God would not keep you from any of the punishment of sin, but that he would say, death and hell and everything else, have him. It's what you deserve. It's what I deserve. We do not deserve that he would shine with his light upon us, but we deserve to be in the midst of that suffering and left in the deepest darkness, outer darkness, without a ray of his light upon us to hide his face. What we deserve is not that the Lord would give his peace, but instead he would give the torment and the anguish and the agony of hell. What we deserve is not that God would be gracious to us, but that God would carry out his justice to us in all these things, that he would come with his sentence of condemnation because of our sin against God, our stubbornness, our unbelief, our hardness of heart, our waywardness, even the best things that we have done, there's enough sin in them to damn us. Every one of us here. None of us deserves this blessing. But it's very opposite. And if anyone here thinks that you deserve the blessing of God, it's only because you're blind to who you are and blind to the glory of God. And then you must fear that you are still outside this blessing of God. No one deserves the blessing of God. That's also what the Lord teaches in his word and teaches by his Holy Spirit. He confronts us with that reality. I don't deserve this blessing. It can be painful, but it's such a mercy. When he so shows us that we don't deserve that blessing, and at the same time he shows us what a beautiful thing that blessing is. So on the one hand you desire to have it, and on the other hand you wonder how can you receive it. Why does he teach these two things? It's in order to lead us to where that blessing is to be found, to come to the feet of the one who gives that blessing. And who is that? You say it's God, the Lord bless thee, yes. But who is it that spoke the blessing in our passage? It was Aaron. Aaron as the priest of God. Aaron who could stretch out his hands of blessing over the people at the command of God, because in those hands he had brought that incense up to God on that incense altar there in the holy place as he had prayed for the people. And he could only offer up that incense because he had taken coals from that burnt offering altar where he had offered up a sacrifice for sin. The hands of Aaron had been drenched in the blood of a sacrifice for sin. There where the justice of God was executed upon a substitute in the place of a stubborn people who deserved the curse of God. It's the hands that have been soaked with blood that could then stretch out over the people and say, "The Lord bless thee." And as we hear that and as we see that congregation, do we not see other hands of another priest, of none less than the Son of God, who became a man whose hands were pierced and whose hands were bloodied so that he could stretch out those hands of blessing upon those who deserve the curse tonight? Where will you find the blessing tonight? It's at the feet of this Christ, of this Savior. There you see what we deserve and the blessing of God meet together. He became a curse to give his blessing. To be able to say, "The Lord bless me." He entered into the fullness of destruction to be able to say tonight, "The Lord keep thee." He had God hide his face from him in those hours of darkness so that he could say, "The Lord shine with the light of his face upon thee." He endured the punishment of sin according to the justice of God so that he could say tonight, "And the Lord be gracious unto thee." He had God forsake him so that God could lift up his face upon you. He had all the wrath of hellish agony so that he could give peace tonight. This is a Savior, and there is none other. This is where blessing is to be found, and no other place. Congregation, as hearing that blessing of the Lord pronounced upon you, laid upon you, week after week, as it brought you to sink down before this Christ, this Savior, confessing your curse and hearing him say, "The Lord bless thee," confessing your darkness and hearing him say, "The Lord lift up his shine upon thee," confessing your guilt and hearing him say, "The Lord be gracious to you." Apart from Christ, these very words of blessing that you hear will only make your judgment the worse, because if they do not lead you to Christ, then it's because you harden yourself under this glorious revelation of the grace of God, and you push away the God who stretches out his hands to bless. And if you still only speak so generally about the Lord blesses us in so many ways, but it's not this blessing that flows from the pierced hands of Christ, to know the favor of God, to know peace with God, to have God as your keeper, then how empty it is. Congregation, it's here. It's here from this Christ that the blessing is received and the blessing is enjoyed. It's by faith in Christ, who is that priest who gives the blessing. Don't you see it there in those disciples? They are gathered around the Lord Jesus before he is about to ascend, and he stretches out his hands, those hands that had been pierced, and he blessed them. I can't think of a better way to go into a week than under those hands of blessing, those blessing hands of Christ himself. Then it doesn't matter what the week holds. Then it doesn't matter what I hope or fear. It's under his hands, and it shall be well. Congregation, this is the word of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.